Let's hook up with G. Scott from ESPN 710 right now. Hey, G, it is Friday. Thank goodness you're here.
Man, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, G.
And the most important thing, if some of your listeners might can understand this, don't you notice that your Fridays are a lot better when you got that check?
Yes, sir.
Payday. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly. I woke up today, G. I checked out my account. I had a little deposit, and I feel good. Like, it is on tonight, G. It is on tonight.
It's all like Maddie Stone. But here's the deal, though. Why is it for all of those that get direct deposit, why do we have to check it every time?
Because we don't trust Big Brother, man. We don't trust Big Brother. You know this.
Where's my money? Where's my money?
Man, we want to see that deposit. Like, ooh, it's the same every 2 weeks, but I just want to make sure you in there.
You just want to look at it. You're going to make it look, because you are flush for one day before it all goes off for your bills, right? So you look at that one day. It looks good. You take a screenshot.
You want to talk about Seahawks or what?
You're right. Oh, yeah, let's talk about your Seahawks. Can the Seahawks cash in on offense? Can they do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this is what we're dealing with right now. Basically, if you think about it, the best thing about the Seahawks offense is a seventh-round draft pick. Chris Carson is the man, 50 grand, don't get me wrong, and he is the best thing going. But it seems to let me know that you went into the season with not a very good plan. As much as we love Chris Carson, at the end of the day, he was a seventh rounder, and he is the man right now. The whole Eddie Lacy thing, they gave Eddie Lacy $4.2 million, and he didn't even dress week two. What does that say? That says a whole lot, and there's not even a good chance he might not even dress this week. So you're talking about an offense that needs to get its identity together. Yes, Russell Wilson played a bad game, but he won the game for them. So it's kind of weird how that happened with the Niners. But, man, in order for this team to get back the identity, because the defense is still there, they're doing their thing, but the offense needs to establish his identity, and how they do that is with the run. And Chris Carson showed you with that last drive, when he sealed it with 40 yards in that drive, mm-hmm. especially his last run, when he had the wherewithal to not run out of bounds, and he kept it in bounds because he knew he wanted to keep the clock ticking. Feed that young fella, baby.
Gee, so let me ask you then, has Chris Carson already taken that starting role? Is it firmly his, or are they still leaving it up to a committee?
It's his job, y'all. That's him. He's the guy. And he's not just the guy with the coaches. The players. The players co-sign on him. Mm. He is the guy. Let me just tell you guys about Chris Carson really quick. He's such a nice young man. So humble. So appreciative. So grateful to be in this opportunity. I had a fortunate chance to talk to him a few times this week, man. You guys, when you all get to know Chris Carson, you guys are going to fall in love with this guy. I mean, he's just one of those good guys, you know what I mean? And some of the good guys that you just want to root and cheer for.
Well, let me ask you about another piece of the offense that hasn't really shown much. It's Jimmy Graham. Is there any way the Seahawks can properly utilize this guy? Only 9 yards through the first 2 weeks.
He's got 4 catches and 9 yards. Mm-hmm. Whose fault is that? Because somebody told me the other day that that's Jimmy Graham's fault. That's funny. You know, Jimmy Graham in this offense this year is like having a Lamborghini and using it to take things to the dump. And then afterwards, you're washing it with wool mix. You got to properly treat that thing the right way. And somebody also said to me, well, Jimmy Graham doesn't run good routes. Really? Really? He's 6'7", 230 pounds. Does he really need to run good routes? Does Gronkowski run good routes? Does Jason Witten run good routes? Back in the day, did Tony Gonzalez run good routes? My point is, that's on the Seahawks offensive scheme to get him the ball. I'm sorry, but that's just not a good excuse. And you can't just put it all on Jimmy, and I'm sure he has his part in it, but the offensive coordinator has his part. And guess what? The quarterback, the person that he's got his part too. Like, everybody has, like, it's always accountability across the board. You can't go through always blaming the offensive line for everything. And by the way, the offensive line, they played a lot better in game two against the Niners.
You know what, G, and that's exactly what our boy Bick Nizar, our producer, has been talking about. He goes over the game tape and he said, you know what? The offensive line, they're not great, but they're better than they get credit for. And Russell Wilson has to step up. But I want to go back to what you just said about the offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, specifically. How much more rope is this guy going to get? Because it just seems like they never get their offense figured out. It takes them forever to figure out what plays to run and how to structure that offense.
Well, when you talk about the rope that Darrell Bevell gets, I mean, what's Darrell Bevell done since he's been here? I mean, as offensive coordinator, he was the first offensive coordinator that Russell has ever had. He has won a Super Bowl. He was back-to-back Super Bowls. So he's had some accomplishments. So you can't in the past. So with that being said, you're also talking about an offense right now, and we're only talking about week two, that's very stagnant. Going to last year, there were a few games last year. There was a few. Tampa Bay game, Arizona game down there, Green Bay game up in Lambeau last year, in which the offense was stagnant. It kind of stuttered a little bit. Well, a little bit of that was like, well, Russell Wilson, and maybe he's a little bit hurt. And now you're going into this season, and the idea right now is it's okay to say, hey, Bevell, this offense needs to be better. I think we could all agree and see that right now the Seahawks offense is not doing that great. With that being said, it's not time to make any rash, you know, decisions or anything like that. So he'll be in place. I think that the offense, at least I hope that the offense gets a little bit better. But right now, it's one of those, you got your side eye down and you're looking at Bevell and you're saying, my man, okay, time to get this offense rolling. So how much longer? I don't know, but I don't think there'll be any decisions to do anything during a season. That's not how Pete Carroll rolls with his coaching staff.
No, you're absolutely right. That's nothing we should expect, but it doesn't stop the fans from calling for people's heads. Now, when it comes to the defense, I had to ask Shaq Griffin, how much has this kid impressed you as a rookie?
Oh, he's the truth. He is the truth. I was with him. I did a couple of events with him early this week, and he and I were talking, and one of the things he said to me that stood out to me, and he said, I said, man, you ever thought you were going to be in this position? He says, I didn't know what position I'd be in, but the most important thing for me was not to let the moment be so big, to just play into the moment, and whatever I'm asked to do. Don't ask to do anything that I'm not asked. Don't try to do anything that I'm not asked to do. And he kind of just made it very simple. Shaq Griffin, in meetings, he sits next to Sherm. That's what he does in the meetings. He sits next to Sherm. Pete Carroll is in those DB meetings because you guys know that Pete Carroll loves the secondary. And that, I mean, that's what Pete Carroll is very good at. And over the years, if Richard Sherman gives you a compliment, if he, like when he and I are talking, and he gives a compliment about a player, that means that player is very good, because Richard Sherman doesn't give credit to too many people. Richard Sherman thinks that Shaquille Griffin is going to be a very, very good pro in this league for a long time. For Richard Sherman to give a stamp like that, that said, that tells me a whole lot. I mean, I could sit here and pretend like I know as much as Sherman, which I do not, and to hear that from him, that kind of solidifies it. But as far as Shaq Griffin, the player, the person, that's another personality that you guys get used to and get ready. You're going to love him.
Hey, G, I want to ask you about Bradley McDougal. Seahawks picked him up this summer. Planning to use him as like a third safety on nickel packages. Are we expecting bigger things out of him starting against the Titans this weekend?
It just depends on what the look is. You know what I mean? Bradley McDougal is somebody who he could have started. He could have stayed at Tampa Bay and been a starter, and he could have actually got himself more money. Think of Bradley McDougal like this. Bradley McDougal is putting himself in the same situation that Cliff Avril and Mike Bennett did in 2013. When those guys came, they could have been starters with their previous team, but they came here because they wanted to gamble themselves, and they knew and felt like they could prolong their career in Pete Carroll's system. Cliff Avril, Mike Bennett did not start. Remember, they were nickel down guys on third down. They come in that NASCAR package. Well, they didn't start then, and you see where they are today. Bradley McDougal is in the same situation. He's in a very talented safety room right now, and he come in. They do have special deals for him on nickel packages, but that's another player. That's one of those guys that just always competes. And that's adding to the depth chart and maybe making that secondary room that much deeper.
Gee, also want to get your thoughts on the O-line. Been hearing reports, or at least seeing reports, saying that Odey Obusi could be starting at right guard instead of Glowinski over the Titans this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm kind of hearing the same thing. We must got some of the same people. The same thing. Let me give you Odey Obusi a little bit. Remember Breno Giacomini?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
think Breno Giacomini.
Mean.
Odeya Bush. And I mean this in a very polite way. Odeya Bush is a dirtbag. Does that make sense? He's one of those dirtbags.
Right.
Just get in there and just mix it up. He's like, man, hey, look, we're about to go get into a little something. I'm a little nervous. Hey, man, call Odeya Bush. He'll come with you. That's the type of player that he is. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll find out for sure because you just never know with the Seahawks. But I am hearing a couple things as far as Odeya Bush possibly getting in that right guard spot. They're going to get that offensive line fixed, and they're going to keep doing some tweaks and things like that. Here's another thing to pay attention to. Pay attention to that left tackle spot. I don't think Reese Odhiambo has really solidified mm-hmm. that spot yet. There's kind of some question marks.
Right.
So be paying attention to that. Number 70, Reese Odhiambo at left tackle. We'll see how that shakes down. But Reese has got to play better as well.
Before we let you go, G, what's going to happen on Sunday in Tennessee between the Titans and the Seahawks?
Okay, look, tell your listeners that I'm gonna keep it always 100
mm-hmm.
on here. I'm never gonna lie.
Right.
I don't think the Seahawks go get it done out in Tennessee. Mm. Tennessee is a very tough team. Tennessee Titans went from 4-12 to 9-7.
Right.
Just last year. Well, it's very hard to do that. However, it's not very hard to go from 9-7 to 11-5. And I think the Tennessee Titans with Marcus Mariota is a very good quarterback. He's not just a running quarterback, but he's a dual threat. He can run and can pass. The last time a man has thrown a turnover in the red zone, I think he was in flag football when he was young. I mean, the dude is a very good quarterback.
Right.
I think the Seahawks defense is still phenomenal. I just think that there's too many question marks on offense. I'm gonna leave you with this. Where are the question marks at? You just sit there and ask me about the right guard spot. Mm-hmm. And then I also just gave you some information about possibly the left tackle spot. And we all don't know if Eddie Lacy is going to be the starter. And we don't even know if Chris Carson is going to get more carries than Thomas Rawls. You see where I'm going? There's too many questions on offense to have going the road. And the last piece of stats I'll give you, I think in the last 16 games, in September road games, the Seahawks, ooh, I think they're like 2-14. Mm. So if you want to go stats, there's that.
G. Scott, ESPN 710, amazing as always. So where can people hook up with you, just talk to you or listen to you, let the people know how they can get more G in their life?
Oh, yeah, I would love that. I love more people in my life. You can catch me on Twitter at the G Scott. That's GEESCOTT at the G Scott. And then you can find me every day down here on 710 ESPN. But hit me up on Twitter. I'm a blast. I love to have fun with all my followers, and I love you all for that.
G Scott, amazing. Can't wait to talk to you again next Friday and enjoy that Seahawks Titans clash.
Yes, sir.